This is The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with WGBH Radio in Boston.
Thanks for being with us today. I'm Todd Zwillick, and let's go to Israel now, where on Sunday, Israel's Ministry of Strategic Affairs released a list of 20 international organizations whose members Israel says will be banned from entering the country. Those organizations are involved in international protests against Israel's policies towards Palestinians and Palestinian territories. Israel says it's moving to actively prevent those groups from spreading falsehoods from within the country. Ruth Eglash has been covering the story for The Washington Post. She's in Jerusalem. Hi, Ruth.
Hi there.
Ruth, Israel is banning people from 20 organizations here. What is Israel trying to say?
I think, you know, this is part of an ongoing process that's been ramped up over the past year or two for Israel tackling what's known as the BDS movement, the Boycott, Divestment and Sanctions effort to put pressure on Israel to change its policies regarding the Palestinians, to try and find a way to end the occupation of the West Bank. And Israel actually sees these organizations more as an effort to delegitimize its existence and as more nefarious than what it presents itself. So it's all part of an ongoing process to clamp down or to hit back at these organizations.
Talk a little bit more about BDS, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions. Who's involved in that movement and what exactly are they doing?
I mean, from what it appears or what it has become, it's a very loose conglomeration of different groups or different groups who have signed on or have pronounced or announced allegiance with this attempt to pressure Israel. And from what we've seen over the years, it's been a mixed effort of boycotting Israeli goods, boycotting particularly Israeli goods that come from the West Bank settlements, Jewish settlements, and also to put pressure on businesses, companies not to do business with Israel, and to put pressure on artists and celebrities to not visit Israel, and particularly the West Bank.
How effective has BDS been so far?
I think that's a matter of opinion. I mean, the BDS claims themselves some very great results from their pressure. Recently, the singer Lorde, from New Zealand, cancelled her performances here. They claim other victories as well. Some Israelis would say it's less of an impact. Financially, they would say it's no impact, while other Israelis would say that it has had an impact and it does affect Israel, or affect the way Israel is perceived around the world.
So, Ruth, why has Israel, though, chosen to go directly at these groups that protest its policies? Don't they risk a perception that they're trying to silence dissent?
Well, I think that their thinking, is just to say, you know, if this is the way people act towards Israel, then they shouldn't be given the honor or right of visiting, which also includes visiting the Palestinian areas or Palestinian territories. So, I mean, that's, I think, where it's basically coming from. And as I said, it's part of a wider effort to hit back at BDS, to shut it down, to stop it from spreading to more people. And it's a government policy. This blacklist that was announced yesterday is stipulated in law, in legislation that was passed in March. And so that's really where it comes from.
There are a couple of U.S. groups included, including Jewish Voices for Peace and Code Pink. How have they responded?
There's been a very wide range of response. I mean, some of the organizations say that it's actually a badge of honor that they appear on that list. Other organizations, particularly the Jewish ones, Jewish Voice for Peace and Code Pink, feel that it's outrageous that their members or their leaders would be prevented from entering Israel. I saw comments from, the director of Jewish Voice for Peace, who said that it would impact her directly because she visits Israel to visit family members here. So, you know, there's been a wide range of different responses.
And away from these BDS protesters, Ruth, and Israel's decision to ban some of them from its territory, there's been some developments on the international stage. President Trump, a few days ago, criticized the Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees. Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister, backed up that criticism. Does the United States have the ability to cut funding to this organization? Because that's been the threat.
I mean, from what we understand, I mean, I really don't know about like the mechanics of making a decision to cut that funding. The president has threatened to cut aid. I don't know if he specifically said UNRWA, which is the agency that works with Palestinian refugees. But then also Nikki Haley, the U.S. ambassador to the U.N., made comments regarding aid to Palestinians via the UN agencies. So it was assumed or it was taken to understand that it would directly impact UNRWA. What we do know is that the US is the largest single donor to UNRWA. And over the past year is among the top donors to UNRWA. So I think if that money is taken away, it could have a huge impact on the work that that organization or agency does. In Israel, in the West Bank, in Gaza, and in other countries in the Middle East where there are Palestinian or descendants of Palestinians who still live in refugee-like conditions.
Ruth Eglash, correspondent for The Washington Post in Jerusalem. Ruth, thank you so much.
You're welcome.